This is a special edition of the podcast from AbelJosephson.com.
Over the last year, I have been asked here and there to speak on prayer, which I do not speak on prayer. Because if I did, the explanation is so far and vastly different than the normal way of seeing prayer that I've just decided not to touch it, but I'm going to touch it here just a little bit. When it comes to prayer, what I speak of is from a very different angle. And we do just to grasp, you know, what it is that our own speech and speaking is, to know it as a signal or a voice or a power that is known as God to all of the other vibrations and signals and noises within us, we do good to grasp that. So you can imagine my moment when I decide to explain what actual true prayer is, because it's nothing like what we've been taught in the bedtime stories. When you are in a man-woman relationship, you know, husband-wife, boyfriend-girlfriend, when you're in a man-woman relationship and it's dead and you're suffering and you're acting like you care when you don't, when you're sick and tired of the charade, when you have had enough, when no matter what it costs you, you are going to rise and change your situation. This drive, this urge, this power, this special form of wrath is the wrath of God, and this urge to speak up is prayer. And most people don't even know it's there. You may not even acknowledge it till it gets to the point where it is so strong, and this power, this desire, so that it can become in the form of verbalization, words, to the end that it brings about the massive avalanche that is desired. When you stand up, when no matter what it costs you, you're going to rise and change, and you're going to say something. I'm just going to say something. I'm going to get it out. This drive, this urge, this special form of wrath, this is prayer. This urge within you to stand up, to speak up, to make life-changing announcements within you when you've had enough. This is prayer. I mean, and the motivation can be other things. It doesn't necessarily come out of wrath. It can be once your eye is open and your imagination is now dialed in, you can imagine what kind of world you can have within you. And you imagine, hey, look, I can be like this if I'll talk that way, if I'll speak of it, if I'll teach it within me. That's the only use that I know of for the imagination, is what can be. It makes what is possible, for all things are possible with God, and the Word is God. You start proactively going into areas and creating and generating things that were not alive within you before. This is the word of your desire, forcing itself to join with the words you will choose to express that urge, that movement, that power, that will, that forcing together of desire or your will to be conjoined with your words to speak or even scream aloud sometimes, or to whisper. This is prayer. When the will and the words are conjoined together, the will for words to come to express your will, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Your own words are alive and cry out to be conjoined with what your deepest core will is all about who and what you are in your own eyes. This is prayer. To open your mouth and say stuff and ask an external power force to go and manipulate circumstance and events, all I know that as is witchcraft. My only concern for the use of the word is so I can change the perception or the eye that I look through concerning me, concerning judgment of myself. This is the only thing that I have instantaneous power and authority over pertaining to the judgment of me in my own eyes. And I bring forth a command to tell myself something, so my mind comes in order with it. So at the end, I have grace, mercy, and peace. You don't see anything about the will of God mentioned that it come forth to change events and circumstances. This is prayer. And when the desire, when the will combines with the act of speaking it or verbalizing it, the Father and Son become one. Will for something, your will, and the speaking of it out loud is Father and Son, and the words used are the spirit that animates your will to life and carries it to the mother of it all, your mind, for this is the marriage between Adam and Eve. The marriage that Adam had with Eve was born out of what he said. You once held a will about what you thought was right about you, and it was married to your mind, and the mind of the woman was married to what you had said. But this man that you have been has come to a place by understanding he has been put to death. He has died. And now the man is dead, or what you used to say, your former conversation is no longer given a place on the altar for expression. The man is dead, that old will. And the woman, the mind, is now free to marry another and it not be called adultery. And this is all within you. When the voice of something that you said about yourself dies, and a new man or a new voice of what you say about yourself comes along, the mind is now free to marry that man. And thou shalt not commit adultery. So when you told yourself two different messages, this made the mind guilty of adultery. So it's fascinating the understandings that are being taught here by Paul. These are deep spiritual understandings that detail the workings between voices and understandings and beliefs, identities within you. Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is all within you. Paul is teaching Timothy, respect everything that is in place around you within Adam, and realize that you should have mercy on the understandings and the people that you have been in your life in and around you. They all played a role. They have a part in all we say and do as we head down the road to the end, that everything can be revealed within us that is in us, so it can be taught a new way of life within us, as us, by us. That in the end, what was the fruit? What was the fruit or the end of the command that he said at the beginning? That we have mercy, grace, and peace. This is the end of the commandments. This is the fruit we desire to enter into in Adam. And you are Adam, I am Adam. This was the will of God described to Timothy by Paul in chapter 1. That all the voices now sing a new song that gives us peace, mercy, grace. So he is saying, respect those other understandings as they are even called men, as they are individually alive as understandings, as beliefs. And they are different people that you are. Respect the beliefs that have been allowed to be and have mercy on yourself, for their presence has played an important part within you. Respect where you've been. Be thankful for where you have been. Be thankful for the different types of persons that you have been. They're important, even though they will be laid aside forever. But they remain alive. Their voicing and their message and their understanding is going to be transformed. There's no reason for condemnation or warfare with them. So we can be peaceable in what we change within us. He's telling this understanding, as you go and spread the understanding that you are amongst other men amongst other understandings or different persons that you have been. Be peaceable. Be kind about it. Go slow. Hang loose and travel light. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all the different type of people you have been, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So honesty is part of leading the peaceable life. Honesty with what? You. You being honest about you, accepting who and what you have been, and realizing that you like most of it. You like all the different types of people that you are. So there's no reason to condemn that which you allow. The words you speak is the voice of God in your own garden. And when this prayer arises, when this will to announce yourself as perfect and beautiful in every aspect of who and what you have been, of who and what you are, when this rises and mixes with words, your words, the combination of your will and your words about who and what you are to be seen as in your own eyes is your Savior. The Word is God, and what you speak to yourself to define yourself with is your Savior. Savior from what? Being in conflict with you. Being one way and then accusing that the way that you actually are is wrong. That is a false accusation. That is the true nature and true activity and true operation of what a devil is. And who's that devil? You. Jesus said it. He that dips his hand with me in the dish is he that will betray me. You have betrayed you. By falsely accusing all of the powers and principalities within you as being evil. You thought these things were rulers of evil unto evil works. No, it was you. It's a Savior to you, what you're going to speak and say and teach new understandings within you to every different kind of person that you are. Savior from what? The torment you once walked in when you found fault and iniquity and sin within yourself, when you threw Lucifer down based on what you spoke of yourself before. The Word is God, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So this knowledge of honoring God has to be taken to all the different people that you are inside, so that they may be saved from being in conflict with Christ or who you really are. For there is one God, one mediator between God and these men that you are, these people that you are, the man, Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is his own freestanding flagpole, his own freestanding building. He's not in the strip retail center. He is his own building. Just like all these others are their own building. And it is his will that all men be saved from the torment and come unto the knowledge of the truth, that all that you are can live peaceably in honesty. There's one God, one mediator between this word, this language, and the different people you have been. And it is the man, which is your true life, speaking to all these that are within you. Christ is your life. Christ Jesus is just code words for you being honest with you and settling everybody down. There's only one voice from within you that is God. It is a voice driven by your pure and true will. Together, this makes God. And what you speak and say is going to be God to every voice within you. And this is beautiful. It's a beautiful and precious combination of your will mixed with speech and speaking from your lips. To the world within you, it is the only true God available to you. There's no other God before this combination. There's no other voice, no other person on the planet that can do this for you. And that voice you think you hear that is coming from a God in a spiritual heaven, that's you. That's you. That's Christ. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. There's only one God, one force, one power that will be mediator between what you have believed, the different people that you are, and what your new will is, that it be now a new truth within you. One mediator, and this is the man, or the understanding, or the one person that you are, that has the one voice, or the desire from within you, that you speak the truth about who you really are. Who is it that you're going to speak of when you speak of who you really are? You're going to speak of the truth that you are many different kinds of people, and that one group of people within you need not accuse falsely another group of people that you are. You must know what it is to be many different kinds of people within you, so that you may judge with mercy, grace, and peace. Who? Judge who? You. You need all these different voices. You need these powers. You need these things. Why? So that you know all things. You were deceived into thinking that you were a bag of broken glass and filthy rags, but now you know the truth. You are life itself. And your voice is the voice of life, and life is perfect. Life is beautiful. Who decides that you are perfect and beautiful, clean and washed, with no reason for accusation of wrong, no matter who is found in you? You decide. You decide to give yourself this grace, this mercy, and this peace, or you decide not to. And you ask that some other outside imagination or being or entity do it for you. But that's a deception, because only you can do it for you, because only you can speak for you. True? You've done no wrong. None of the people that you have been have done wrong. And you're not wrong even for allowing yourself to experience darkness, sadness, the things you have judged as negative, that are actually part of how you come into mercy and grace. When you know what depression is and you know what enthusiasm is, you can empathize with a person who's enthusiastic. You can empathize and understand somebody who is sad. But this judgment must be first within you. Don't you know judgment begins in the house of God, or the house where your word and your voice comes from? You give it to yourself. If you don't give it to yourself, grace, mercy, peace about all that is within you, you have nothing to give to somebody else. You've not received it nor possessed it with your own hands, and your words are your hands. If you don't think you're worthy to decide who and what you are, and that you're not worthy to speak such things, then you will remain ever longing for someone or something outside of you, baby, to sit down and babysit you forever until the revelation, until the resurrection of this kind of word from your heart mixed with your own will comes back to life. Then you will ascend. Then you will ascend. May take you eons, but it only need take you just a few seconds in the twinkling of an eye to open up your mouth and to begin to bless yourself and not curse yourself. So your will mixed with your words gives the fruit of mercy. It gives the fruit of mercy to the deceptions that are alive like people within you, and you wash them free of guilt. But you move forward in a new judgment of yourself, announcing this judgment, and this is reflected by what you say about you to you. And the changes you are making, you verbalize those. It is the power of the Word, and the Word is God. And there's one mediator between all that is within you already and all that you desire to be known as in the future in your own eyes. One mediator between the two, who you are and what you say you are, what you speak, and the Word is God. And this is the mediator between all the different people that you've been. The mediator between all these people that you have been that have announced things to your mind or passed knowledge to your mind and all the voices that have been heard within you that have confused your mind, your voice, your words are the mediator between these men and your mind. They're the mediator between Christ, who you are, and the men that they are, or the people that you have been. What you speak is the one true God that is the mediator between men and God. And if you notice, it says between men and God, not man and God. Man is a body of natural people. Men are within you. And the commandments that you now bring to all the world within you are the commandments that are a savior to you. And nobody needs to teach you what to command to yourself. You will know. And if you don't trust yourself, you need to speak of the trust that you have for yourself and establish that trust through the power of God, and that is through the power of what you say. You can distrust nothing about your decisions, and you watch how accurate your decisions will become. Your decisions about who and what you are have always been true and accurate, but because you didn't trust them about who you really are and what you really like and to see your own beauty, you distrusted everything. So you lived in chaos and common brown paper bag everyday insecurity. I know, I came from this. There's only one who is mediator and savior. This word that comes from your will, the sound of your own will speaking about what you think about yourself. And he gave himself, it says, he gave himself, this word, he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, what does that mean? We will understand what we gain by crucifying this word and the knowledge of it, by crucifying the true image of God, which was the word, to make our words dead. When we crucified and we came to the point where what we said meant nothing and was powerless to us, and we mocked you and made fun of you when you said that what you said had power over your own life, over your own heart. We mocked it. We crucified it. We all did. We deemed it unimportant, inane matter on the bottom of the ocean of life. But we will learn and we will see what was the beauty when, because we did crucify that knowledge within us. And then to have it resurrect within us, oh my God, our eyes will be open. To know the glory of his words and what they do for him, Adam made a covenant with God. He did it on purpose, and the word is God. He made an arrangement to crucify his knowledge of the power of his words, to crucify Jesus. He made an arrangement, a covenant, to see what would happen. And he told his words, you will not be used to heal yourself, to touch the unclean thing that you are. And that's what's in everybody today. Listen to people. Oh, not me, only the Lord. He's going to wash my tears away one day. God. They think God is somebody else. They still have an old covenant arrangement with their words. They say, well, no, we don't take any credit for any fixing or repairing or healing. We have to give all credit to an external imagination of a man. And you're waking up now from the sleep that you put yourself into as God, as your words caused a great sleep to fall on Adam. You are Adam in that book. And you put this knowledge of the power of your own spoken voice to speak to you from that voice. You put that to sleep, put it to bed, crucified it even, destroyed it. This word, this knowledge of the word and the life it spoke from were crucified and suffered death within you. And this is how you were crucified with Christ, because that is who you really are. The person that speaks from truth and honesty, you crucified that person that you are. That's how you're crucified with Christ. That's how you suffered with him in death. And it had to be done for you to understand the fullness and the glory, to know that your tongue is so powerful, it can crucify your own life within you. For Christ is our life, and we suffered and died when we put him to death, because he is us. Christ is our life. who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher now, an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ. Christ is not crucified in me. I speak the truth in him, because he is who I am. He's simply the life that I am. And I lie not, Paul said. He says, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. What is the prayer? It's the supplication for all these people that you have been, that were condemned by you and lived under rulers of darkness, because the word has not been resurrected to remove those powers and those beliefs and those lies and those covenants that we had with our own words, that we did not see that we had done that, to remove that now and to let a new covenant come forth. And this covenant is going to allow our own words to be God within us. And we as God, because we are who and what we say, will wash away all tears. And we'll do it not with wrath, not anger, not bitterness, but with understanding, with grace, kindness, mercy, to the end that we have peace and live peaceably within us. Just take up the business and move forward and resurrect this knowledge within you. You don't look back at the burning Sodom and Gomorrah, so to speak. You move forward and you preach the knowledge of our words with confidence and verity. Verity means it's true because it's just true. Because it's simply true, and true about you, it's true about me. And it's true within us. And I don't know about you, but I'm a beautiful and a gorgeous man. And that knowledge rules and reigns. Why? I established it with my words. And who is the beautiful and gorgeous man that I am? All the different people that I've been in my life. Whether honest or dishonest, beautiful or ugly, it's all part of the beauty. Oh, I understand now. So now, Paul, instructing Timothy, he's a newborn understanding. It is one understanding teaching another understanding, just like I showed you in Psalm 82, where the Most High, the knowledge itself, was teaching the gods, plural, G-O-D-S. The gods are the words or the messengers that were all in Adam. Why do you continue to be a part of a voice that is wicked and evil and condemns yourself? That was the message in Psalm 82, and it was one word teaching other words. His brethren in the congregation of the voice power that is in God, in Christ. Paul instructing Timothy, one understanding teaching another understanding, one brother teaching another brother. He referred to him as his brother in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Timothy, he refers to him as his son. He is both, because he was brought forth, this understanding of honoring God. It was brought by the Word, and the Word was the father of it. And Paul was an understanding that was brought forth by the word that Adam spoke. So Adam is a son also, and he's led by the Spirit. The understanding was led out by what was spoken, and the word is God, the Spirit of the Word. He's instructing Timothy, one understanding teaching another understanding about how to see things as the new revelations begin to spread within Adam. And by the way, these are only being spoken because these are decisions that Adam has made. This is all Adam and the workings of his understandings being organized about how to view the old as the new comes into play within him. And that is all this chapter of Timothy is conveying, what I've just said. Now, Paul addresses the mind. He addresses the woman, how she needs to settle down, to not let imagination and other powers take her into a rage and a vanity, so to speak. She needs to remain sober and vigilant as new seeds come into her that Adam is going to speak and give birth to within her. To give birth to the new judgment Adam now speaks of when he speaks of himself. He no longer talks of himself like Job spoke of himself. I'm a garbage pail. He no longer talks as Paul spoke of himself in a previous conversation. Oh, wretched man that I am. The mind, the woman, Timothy is instructed, needs to remain sober and vigilant. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. The mind doesn't need to be puffed up and be involved in this. She needs to just be common and sit down and calm down and be present. That's all that means. Nothing fancy, Joyce. Nothing fancy. Sober-minded. These are just matter-of-fact things that we're going to do in the world within us through what we speak. He says, but, parentheses, which becometh women, these things, you know, not with broidered hair, not with pearls or costly array, which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Oh yeah, your mind, your woman has a profession. Oh yeah, she fancies herself in a lot of different ways that are not true. He says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. So none of these things he's talking about, the shame, you know, the broidered hair and the pearls, the costly array. She needs to forget about her self-image and whether she thinks she's smart or not. She doesn't need to carry that burden of being fancy of herself, by herself, through her own eyes. She needs to sit down and sober up and hear what I'm going to say to her, and she needs to learn and be subject to what I speak now. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. It's so beautiful. You see all the women, or all the aspects of the woman who are named all through the Old Testament. They're all running at him, telling the man how the cow eats the cabbage, running the shop, even like Jezebel, killing prophetic word rising within Adam. What was that prophetic word? That's your true heart trying to rise. Running the shop, killing prophetic word rising within Adam, all through the Old Testament. You see it. You see Adam's mind depicted as all the women depicted in the Gospels. And what were they? Wretched. Sick, halt, lame, bleeding, understandings, your children or daughters dying, sons dying, bent over women, bent over, infirm and loathing. Women arguing amongst women. But after Adam begins to speak his mind and the infirm woman, his Eve, she begins to be washed of the lies that caused the infirmity. Your words are the physician that the woman with an issue of blood or an issue over understanding her own life and where she is supposed to be. Your words and what you say to you are the physician to your mind. What is the mind? The temple. Where does Jesus teach? In the temple, in the mind. Where do your words teach? In the temple, amongst the physicians. We see now at the end, in the book of Revelation, what is revealed? A bride washed without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. But boy, at the beginning of that book of Revelation, she's a big fat whore riding a big red greasy dragon. But at the end, she's a beautiful bride washed and without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. She's totally silent. The bride, when adorned and trusted and respected, as you will learn to trust and respect your own woman, your mind, your wife, she is silent. She waits to hear you speak. She doesn't feed you what to say, not at all. The mind doesn't do this. And there will be a separation within you between who your Christ is and who your woman is. It'll be a big time revelation to you one day. And you will look after all of her needs. You will see the mind going into worry, and you will speak something to yourself. You pay attention to every detail of what she speaks, says, and does from within you. And you minister, you are enabled for the ministry. You are enabled now to minister to all of the voices and set them straight. And how do you know what to do? It's simple. Any voice that's not going to be part of a greater voice that amplifies what is graceful, what is peaceful, and what is merciful concerning who and what you think of yourself, it's going to be taught to speak that, or it won't make it to the altar. This bride, this woman, this Mary, the mother of the understanding of the knowledge of the Word, the mother of the Son, or the understanding that the Word is God, the mother of God, that she is, she sits at the feet of the sound of Adam's voice. Paul clarifies, he says, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the voice or over the will of the heart of Christ, but to be silent, to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. So she's the second one to come along. And Adam was not deceived. You're not deceived. That's why I can say, I trust everything that you think you know you should be, and how you should be it. And there should be nothing but grace, mercy, and peace involved in what you say of yourself. And you'll only pick from the highest shelf. Why? In truth, you're not deceived, but your mind took over and deceived the man. The Adam was not deceived, but the woman, the mind being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. Your mind is going to be saved from these torments when you understand that you now will believe in the appearance of the person that you describe when you say who and what you are. The birth of this son, or this understanding about who you are that has given birth to, belief in that person to be who you really are, is belief on the Son that was born of God. Belief in the Son of God, that which was born by what you say, belief in that man, that you are that man, and in truth have always been that man, that is belief in the Son of God. That is unto salvation of who you are. Notwithstanding, your mind shall be saved in childbearing. And she gives birth to a new understanding of who you are based on what you say you are. If they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. In other words, the mind gets healed. After you say shit that relieves her of her sickness and maladies, when a new understanding of who and what you are is born, she takes a huge chill pill. The mind rejoices and relaxes. She goes quiet, and she puts her doings in neutral. She shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. The woman is stabilized by what you say. Your mind is stabilized by what you say. And who is the man? The mind is stabilized by the man. The woman is stabilized by her husband. The one mediator between the will and the mind, who will give birth to the will. The words you speak is the mediator. And the son that they bear, or who you begin to see yourself as, that is born within you, is the new understanding of who Adam is. And you are Adam. It's the new understanding of who you are, or who he really is after years of decades of lies, torments. He has been taught to speak that he is all this corrupted thing. No, he doesn't speak that anymore. He's put on incorruption. And this heals the mind, heals the woman. And what will be born? What will the Son appear as? He will appear full of grace and mercy and peace, and the woman will become what has been spoken by the man, or the mixture of the will of the heart to be such things. It is the mixture of these such things with words that announce that will.
The podcast is now available on iTunes and on YouTube. Subscribe for free and share the podcast from abeljosephson.com.